I mean, that Lithuanian Jewry played such a tremendous role in world history. It's as though it never existed. And the same thing is true in Polish history. The great Lublin Yeshiva is a Polish medical school. Still has, and they, for whom they paid nobody for the youth for the building, still has the golden tablets that Meir Shapiro put on top of the roof. But it's all gone. It's as though it never existed. And most of the Jewish cemeteries are going under. In fact, the State Department has been working to preserve Jewish cemeteries in Poland. And the success that we have had in that is simply because the Poles have nothing to eat. And since they have nothing to eat, so they're amenable to these types of pressures. But otherwise, they would plow all the cemeteries under, as Russia did, as Lithuania did. The great Jewish cemetery in Vilna is non-existent. Only three graves were saved out of the whole great cemetery. And so that... The conscious policy of the population is to make certain that there no one remembers that there were Jews. And it's a remarkable, to me it's as remarkable as the Holocaust. It's as frightening as the Holocaust. Because then it will not be hard to say in 50 or 100 years that somebody will write a book and say that Jews never lived in Eastern Europe. Because the archaeologists won't be able to find anything. Now, Jewish life in Poland was concentrated in three distinct areas. One was the religious area. In Poland and in Eastern Europe, the study and knowledge of Torah developed as it had not developed for many centuries. There were very many factors that went into it, but the main factor was, as I mentioned before, even in Western Europe, the Jew looked at the non-Jewish neighbor. He didn't look at him with envy, but he didn't look at him with complete disdain either. In Spain, that certainly was not the case, but even in France and in England and in Italy, there was a culture, there was a civilization. The Jew in Eastern Europe, he looked at his non-Jewish neighbor with complete revulsion, because the non-Jewish neighbor always was illiterate, most of the time was drunk, was a person of violence and hatred, was uncouth and uncivilized. And therefore the Jews never felt any reason not only to assimilate, they never felt any reason to even imitate their non-Jewish neighbors. So the Jews, for instance, brought their own language with them and for 500 years did not speak the language of the country that they lived in.
To us who speak English and who live in an English-speaking society, it's hard to understand. In Germany, the Jews spoke German. In France, the Jews spoke French. In Spain, they spoke Arabic and Spanish. And here, they brought the language Yiddish, which was their language that they had invented in Germany. It was a dialect of Low German, and they Hebraicized it, and they brought it with them, and that became their language, and that was the language they spoke, and they spoke it to the exclusion of any other language. They spoke it so strongly that many times the non-Jewish population had to learn Yiddish to deal with the Jews, and the Jews would not deal with them in Polish or Russian or Lithuanian. And the knowledge of Polish, Russian, and Lithuanian among Jews was very, very primitive, very elementary. It was enough to, you know, to sell you a cow. But it was the language never crossed their doorstep. No one would think of it. It became a sign.